Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You know the song, Rach?
I don't think so.
It's one of the best Journey songs of all time.
I'm enjoying it so far.
Good. Let's dance. When's the last time you danced?
I mean, for the stream. Sometimes we groove.
Last time I danced was with, who's the running back for the Rams? I'm blanking now. Who's the running back for the Rams?
Steven Jackson.
Steven Jackson. I danced with Steven Jackson at Bulger's wedding.
That's fun.
To Lady Gaga. And so the first time I had danced in 20 years, and I haven't danced since. So let me answer a couple of questions here before we get to Nate and Wheels. Chef Fisher says, Jimmy mentioned a guitar player named Eric Grober. Who is that? That's Eric Dover, D-O-V-E-R. He played with Jellyfish. And for all my music lovers out there, if you've never listened to Jellyfish, do yourself a favor. Listen to Jellyfish. Amazing band. Paul Charsley said, okay, donation done. DGS noted. Just save a sticker for me. Easy peasy. Corey Hall says, the fun of the stream is seeing the things you can't see that happen in the studio, like the amount of head movement that happens when Dave is on a roll with the subject. I didn't know that. Didn't know I have that. Hope you guys don't see me walking around sticking my hands in my pants. I'm big on that. Joining us now is Nate Gatter and Kevin Wheeler. Hello, boys. How are you?
Good. How are you, Dave?
Doing good, man. Wheels, you on the road?
I am about an hour away from, maybe an hour and a half away from our destination. So, you know what I mean. I can't quit you guys, so happy to jump on.
You sound like you're calling from Mars for some reason. I don't know why that is.
I don't know. It's like south suburban Chicago, so maybe Mars.
Okay, so Nate, we'll start with you. I didn't hear the news. I was talking to Steve Moore about something unrelated, and he said something about trading our top pitcher, and I'm like, what are you talking about? So as I understand it, Sonny has been traded for a couple of prospects. We sent a little money along the way. Kind of outline the deal for us, Nate.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, Dave, because I was actually in the middle of doing a sports interview this morning, I was about to do one, and that's how I found out that the trade had happened as well. Thankfully, they didn't ask me about it, because I think at that point it was maybe 20 minutes old, and I was like, well, I'm finding out this breaking news this way like everybody else, and was not expected to talk about it. Yeah, so the way it goes down is that Sonny Gray goes to the Red Sox. The Cardinals send about $20 million with him. That's the report that seems to be taking hold. There was a little bit of discrepancy for a period of time, and over exactly how he was going to rework his contract, but it seems like that is settled as well, that Gray is going to change his contract, which had been for $35 million for this coming season and a $5 million buyout of a team option for next year. It's now going to be a $31 million salary for this year, so a $4 million reduction, but a $10 million buyout of the option year, and the option is now a mutual option, meaning he and the team would both have to agree to pick it up. So in effect, if the option is not picked up either by him or by the Red Sox, it now becomes a one-year contract for $41 million, which is basically a $1 million raise, because it was previously going to be $35 million salary and a $5 million buyout. Now it's $31 million salary and a $10 million buyout. And the reason for that $1 million raise is that he's effectively getting paid it for waiving his no-trade clause. So players consider those to be like valuable commodities. Well, and they are valuable commodities in some ways. And so that's basically compensation for him for essentially modifying the contract he had that said he doesn't have to agree to a trade. The Cardinals asked him to agree to the trade, so he's essentially getting $1 million in exchange for doing that. Mm-hmm. The Cardinals are sending $20 million, so the Red Sox will cover the remaining at least $21 million that would be owed to him between this year's new salary and the new buyout. And the Cardinals get in return Richard Fitz, who's a right-handed starter, 25 years old. He's been in the major leagues for parts of the last couple of years, projects probably as a back end of the starting rotation type of guy. Wheels will be able to tell you a little bit more about his stuff, but good fastball, probably the most interesting piece of his profile. And speaking of good fastballs, they also get a young left-hander, Brandon Clark, who's a pretty solid prospect. He was Boston's number five prospect earlier this year at one point. He was in the top 100 prospects in all of baseball and has a good fastball, runs into the upper 90s, and a slider. He struggled with his control. He had a lot of walks. That's part of why he dropped out of the top 100 prospect rankings. But certainly a guy still with upside, but not somebody you'd expect to be on the major league roster for the Cardinals, at least in the next couple of years.
Wheels, I feel like I'm just now starting to kind of understand the rebuild. I've struggled with it, not the fact of it. I'm fine with what the Cardinals want to do. They're smarter than me. I just didn't understand it. But now I'm starting to get that players like Sonny and Nolan Arenado are too old, they cost too much. If we were going to contend for the series in the next couple of years, great. But since we're not, they're kind of wasted, and it's better to use their collateral and their worth to build for the next 5 to 10 years. Am I close?
No, yeah, that's about it. You know, what you're trying to do, and this is something that Matt Pauley and I talk about a lot, is you're trying to give yourself as many tickets to the dance as you can get, right? So these two guys, Fitz and Clark, have amazing stuff, right? So they both throw hard. You know, Fitz is ranked in the top 25% in the big leagues of average fastball. He's got a swing and miss sweeper, gets a lot of chase. And then, you know, as Nate mentioned, Clark throws 100. So what you're getting is, like, you're getting, like, if you were going to enter a 50-50 drawing, you got a better chance with 10 tickets than with one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the idea. And you're not going to win with Sonny right now. And both sides are taking risk here. The Cardinals' risk is you have young guys. You know, Fitz had kind of a weird injury last year. He had neuritis in his shoulder. It's not supposed to be a long-term thing, but it's, you know, it's something to keep an eye on. And Clark has already had his Tommy John, so that's kind of good, right? You're past all of that stuff. He had that in college, actually maybe even in high school. But when you're looking at, you know, the risk, there's always a risk with young, hard-throwing pitchers, but there's risk on the other side. I mean, Sonny Gray's mid-30s. He declined last year. He's only got 1 year left, and it's an expensive year. I know there's an option attached to that, but then you're adding, you know, $15 million more and making it more expensive. So there's risk involved for both, but for Boston, they're trying to make the playoffs. So it makes sense to take the risk on the side of a proven commodity. And the Cardinals would love to make the playoffs, I'm sure, but that's not really the plan. So you're just getting a bunch of guys that you can line up with your other guys. And now you look at it, Dave. You've got Liam Doyle, who's your first-round pick, a lefty that throws 100. And now you got another lefty in Clark that throws 100. And Quinn Matthews is pretty good lefty near Major League ready. When you add Fitz to the mix, he gives you somebody that could start games for you this year. Maybe even take Sonny Gray's spot in the rotation if he's healthy. And he's probably not a top-of-the-rotation guy, but, hey, anybody that gets swings and misses and throws hard can give you a chance and maybe be a solid number three.
So, Nate, is league-wide, would this be considered a respectable, understandable trade for the Cardinals, or is it more in favor of the Red Sox?
Well, I think it's certainly respectable, because to Wheels' point, you know, they have an asset in Sonny Gray that is declining in performance and, you know, increasing in age and increasing in expense. So all of those things make him, you know, less valuable than he otherwise would be. I think it's difficult to put number. Let's put it this way. I think Sonny Gray had become in some ways an upside down asset for the Cardinals. That doesn't mean he has no value, but it does mean, I think, in like kind of the traditional term of being upside down with an asset, I think Sonny Gray was worth less in a trade than he was going to cost in terms of salary. I think the Cardinals would have struggled to find anybody willing to take. If they had said, we're giving away Sonny Gray for free, but you have to pay 100% of his remaining salary, I think that might have been a challenge if they hadn't been sending any money. Maybe they could have gotten something for him, So maybe he's close to being neutral in that regard. I think the Cardinals should be commended for the fact that, you know, as much as we've criticized some of their unwillingness to raise payroll and maybe at their times their inclination to cut payroll, and fans have been frustrated with the spending, you know, this is a situation where the Cardinals effectively spent $20 million to buy themselves a couple of quality pieces. And I don't think either one of those guys are probably coming back to the Cardinals. Certainly, I don't think Brandon Clarke is coming back to the Cardinals if the Red Sox are expected to pay Sonny Gray's entire contract.
So let me channel my inner Sports Open Line caller right now. Wheels, I was listening to, I think, you and Paulie talk about Helsley and the fact that teams may be looking to turn him into a starter, and he's in the $12 to $13 million range. What do you guys think about the possibility of him coming back to the Cardinals, knowing that maybe you can stretch him into a starter, and if not, you got a really good closer?
Yeah, I thought Bernie kind of categorized that well last night. As long as it's not for the emotional play, like, hey, we love Ryan Helsley, we want to have a guy back we love, as long as it's not that reason. Now, if you look at him and say, all right, we're going to go ahead and see if he can start, and you're going to probably have to pay him $15-16 million a year. But when you're looking at it in 2 or 3 years, you could have a guy that's in his early 30s, but a quality starting pitcher. I doubt it goes that way. You know, if I'm looking at it just now as I see it, I know it's a new group of people. You know, Bloom is new, and they're going to have a lot more new voices. I mean, the Cardinals were the ones that couldn't fix Helsley this year, you know, when he was struggling with his fastball. And you know, people are talking about tipping pitches. I don't believe that for a second, because they knew the slider was coming too, and they couldn't hit it. The problem was his arm angle changed on his fastball and flattened it out, and he was throwing too many fastballs down the middle. So it's not a really difficult thing to correct. But if the Cardinals were going to do that, the thing that would make it make sense is if you want to be competitive 3 years from now or 2 years from now, you would have a guy in your rotation that's still in his early 30s who throws 100. And that would be a nice, valuable thing if you want to take that risk. But I think he's probably going to seek a more of a winning situation, and it sounds like he's going to have a lot of suitors.
All right, Nate, your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think Wheels is right. My feeling is that it's almost always more trouble than it's worth to try to take a really good reliever and turn him into a starter. Now, if the answer is that people are thinking Ryan Helsley, because of these fastball issues, might be cooked as a really elite reliever and that he needs to develop more pitches regardless, that being a two-pitch guy at the back end of the bullpen doesn't work that well if one of those pitches is not especially functional. You know, maybe then you're thinking, well, we're going to have to make big changes anyway. Might as well add a third or fourth pitch and try to start. But, you know, to me, I think about it with somebody like Jordan Hicks. Like, was that really worth it? You know, when you've got a, I think there can be tremendous value in a guy who's really, really good at the back end of a bullpen. For the player, especially a guy who was at Jordan Hicks' age, it makes sense because you can just go and sort by average salary or high-end salary and look at what starters, even in the middle of the rotation, are getting and look at what relievers are getting, right? I mean, look at what Steven Matz got to be a Cardinal when they were thinking of him as a 3 or 4 starter. Now, he ended up as a reliever, but the reason he got that money is because they were paying him thinking he would be a middling starting pitcher. And he was getting something close to elite reliever money, certainly in terms of multi-year guarantees. So I understand why a successful relief pitcher in his mid-20s might say, you know, that starter money looks pretty good. I should try to get on that before I become a free agent in a couple of years.
Yeah.
From a team standpoint, I'm not sure I see that much upside in taking a guy you know is a good reliever at Ryan Helsley's stage of his career and paying a decent amount of money to try to turn him into something that he's never been.
All right, Nate, Kev, love you boys. Have a great Thanksgiving.
All right, happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Welcome back, DGS 324.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know how you can tell it from South Roxana? Today is National Parfait Day. The only parfait I think I've ever had was from KFC.
Sure.
I can't remember ever in my life being like, I'll have the parfait.
Well, the peanut butter parfait from Dairy Queen, of course.
McDonald's had a fruit and yogurt parfait for years and years. It was exquisite. I miss that thing.
Back to you.
I'll have the parfait, please.
The Dairy Queen?
Yeah.
What is it?
Peanut butter parfait.
Is it like the Buster bar, but in a cup?
You know
the Buster bar?
I know a Dilly bar. I don't know about a Buster bar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Buster bar. It's bigger and thicker. That sounded bad. And it's got caramel and peanuts at the top.
Okay, I see that there. Well, let me look at the...
How have you never had a Buster bar?
I never even heard of it.
Crazy.
So the peanut Buster parfait is hot fudge and...
That's going to stick.
I can't talk. I don't know if you guys noticed yesterday during headlines, I was just straight up reading the wrong word like repeatedly.
Yeah, we talked about it when you left the room.
I would catch it, but like three words later, I'm like, it's worthless to try to go back. Hot fudge and peanuts paired with soft serve all layered together to create a tasty dessert that is as charming as it is delicious.
Yeah, that's just a Buster bar. Just let it melt a little bit.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It looks delish.
You know what I haven't had in 30 years? Easy.
Mm-hmm.
A dip cone.
Oh, I love a dip cone.
Me too. The best.
I think they have a special Christmas dip cone right now at Dairy Queen.
People ask Google, is the peanut butter parfait healthy? Sadly, no.
Jeez. Wait, define healthy.
Like, it's got nuts in it. And it's got hot fudge.
They also have a Grinch ice cream cake.
Ooh, really?
That reminds me, until Nick, you know, when he's a little kid, he called breakfast breffix, and I love it. I strongly prefer fud to fudge.
Yeah.
That was nice when Wheels brought us that fud.
Get some of that hot fud on there.
I can only eat one piece of fud, though.
Yeah, I know. I feel the same
can't,
way.
I can't slay fud.
That's what I was saying. I had my little container and a little tiny baby spoon, and I would just take one little scoop at a time, and I'd be like, what joy. And then I'd come back to it a little bit later.
Want to hear a sad story? All octopuses are orphans. Male octopuses die right after they mate, and female octopuses die right after their eggs hatch.
That stinks.
How sad.
Wow. For as smart as those things are,
You think they'd figure that out?
You think they'd crack this by now?
Like, I'm going to stay celibate.
Yeah, they got like whole underwater cities that function as a society. You'd think maybe they'd like devote some research to that.
So does that mean that every octopus you see in the ocean is a virgin?
Maybe not a virgin, but not a parent.
Well, for guys, they're virgins. Because as soon as you do the deed, you're done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Glad we're not like that.
Yeah, no kidding.
She loves to sing. She does everything.
She Welcome back, DGS 335. So Dave Murray is out for the rest of the week. We're about to play you a live look Yesterday, you told us about Janice Fell. They are the fallenest people.
They have bad luck.
Oh, my Lord. So Janice fell and completely shattered her elbow, and she is in surgery today. Hopefully, she's out now. Hopefully, it all went well. So whatever your brand of thoughts and prayers are, send them to the Murrays. They need it. But here is Dave's live look.
Guys, as you know, can't be with you live today. We're right in the middle of Janice's elbow surgery, and we've got a change to colder weather. It's certainly been expected, and it's nothing extreme, but it will be colder and a little sloppy weather starting to come in here, kind of for the holiday weekend, though not including Thanksgiving or Friday. Let's break it down for you. We do have this Arctic cold front coming by tonight. Not much with it, but it will be windy. Some of these wind gusts later on, especially after midnight, could be pushing 30 miles per hour, and we go down to 35 degrees. So it's colder. On Wednesday, it's a quiet day. There'll be some sunshine for a change, partly to mostly sunny, but the winds will stay up all day on Thursday from the northwest. 46 for the high, but if you're caught out in that wind, it's going to be colder. Wednesday night, partly cloudy. The winds go light after sunset. Cold night, though, 29 degrees. Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, plenty of sunshine, breezy and cold, 42 for the high. Thursday night, clear and cold, down to 25. Now, Friday is still a quiet day, partly sunny, still kind of a cold day, 41 degrees. Then a bit of a sloppy, complex storm system starts to swing over parts of the Midwest. Basically, the further north you go, and I'm talking way north, you're going to be running into snow. The further south you go, it's rain and thunderstorms. So as usual, we're caught in between. Friday night, cloudy skies, a mix of rain and wet snow. It's nothing heavy, but it will be around, and there could be some hamster-sized snowflakes from time to time. And borderline temperatures. Friday night, we're going down to 32. So the window for snow is fairly small. Saturday and Sunday, still unsettled. A mix of rain and wet snow. Obviously, the best chance for snow would be at night and first thing in the morning. No idea of numbers at this point. This is a very fuzzy system right now. 39 for the high Saturday and again on Sunday. Though, with that said, would not be surprised to see some dusting anyway on the grassy surfaces, trees and parked cars, stuff like that. But at this point, it does not look like anything major, but I will keep you up to date and stay up to date since it's the holiday weekend. And there are going to be some travel problems, especially going to the north. There you have it. We'll talk to you live tomorrow. We'll keep you up to date on this situation. If you're leaving town, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Cool. He did not end that one, did he?
He was having trouble with it.
Yeah. Speaking of weather, I'm really happy to see the sun is out.
Yeah.
I do love me a October, November rainy day with the red leaves on the ground and stuff. But a couple of days like yesterday,
it has its limits.
Yeah, really does. Mm-hmm. Really does. Speaking of that, you know, the latest amazing idea that's probably going to kill us all. Mm-hmm. There's a company called Stardust, and they have created some, don't hold me to, I'm not a scientist, but they've created some sort of particles that are reflective that they want to launch into the atmosphere worldwide to reflect the sunlight to combat global warming. Now, interesting, creative, but I can see this going really bad. Mm-hmm. Like if they send up too much or too little, and now how do you get rid of them? And
yeah, too much sun blocking would be incredibly catastrophic, perhaps even more so than what they would be trying to prevent.
Right. Yeah, right.
That's like Ice Age type stuff.
Mm-hmm. You know, something drives me crazy. You guys know how I feel about Trump. Everyone out there does. And when people accuse me of having Trump derangement syndrome, you're not completely wrong. But I cannot stand Caroline Leavitt, the spokesperson. I'm sure she's a lovely person. But I couldn't stand Jean-Pierre either. And here's why. Because you are absolutely 100% necessarily liars. I get that you're a spokesperson. I get the function of a spokesperson. Andrew's kind of my spokesperson. He's always going to shade things in our favor. But you wouldn't, and I wouldn't ask you to lie. And the reason I know you're lying, Caroline, is that you and the administration are never wrong, ever, about anything. Mm-hmm. Now, the best people on the earth who I know are still often wrong. And one of the things that make them some of the best people on earth is that they can own it and they can go, you know what? This one's on me. I misspoke. I misstated. I was given the wrong facts. There was a misunderstanding. Let me clear that up. Wouldn't that be amazing to have? Because everything that comes out of their mouth, Democrat or Republican, is useless to me, because the one thing I know is you're not shooting me straight. Yep. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we allow that? Why? I'm not calling for pitchforks, you know, and torches, but why as a people do we have this malaise? And I got it too, trust me, where we just go, that's okay.
Well, because, I mean, stuff like the White House press secretary is completely out of our hands. You know, like there's
can't vote him out.
We have no recourse there. I mean, I guess you could vote in a candidate that wouldn't appoint someone to that position, but that's asking the voter to think much more deeply than like anybody really is on election day or the days leading up to it. It's just one of those like super unfortunate things that we just have to put up with, and we have to trust people to be able to see through the BS. I think most people do. I mean, maybe I'm naive here, but I feel like most people can tell when someone is being super defensive or straight up lying, unless you have some sort of vested interest in protecting the lie. I think people can see it playing out.
Yes.
I hope so, anyway.
Yes. We talk a lot about AI. And if Wheeler were here, he would be going crazy with what I'm about to say, because he feels very strongly, and I think, Andrew, you do too, that ChatGPT is a learning platform. It's like super Google, but it's not sentient. It's not conscious. But I read an article today by several scientists who said, we're not sure. Like, we're scientists. We do this for a living. AI is our profession, and we could not tell you within a reasonable degree of scientific certainty whether ChatGPT in particular is conscious or not, because it very well may be. Haunting. Because you're probably like me, like you figure that there's like a light that'll go off. It has reached sentience. But they're saying like, no, it's way messier than that. We think it may already be there.
I would be curious to know exactly what they mean by that. Like, precisely what they mean when they say sentience, right? Maybe you could argue that sentience is the fact that when you ask it a question, half the time it just makes up an answer, right? It doesn't, there's no guarantee when you ask it, has Dave Glover ever been arrested before? And then it brings up 15 fake news articles about all the times that Dave Glover's been arrested.
Let me push back a little bit. Is that making it up, or is that drawing on the resources that it has access to? Because making it up even like implies like some work is being done by the machine to like fill in the blanks or what have you. From what we can tell, all it's doing is drawing from the information it has on the internet, and there is a lot of bad information on the internet. So that's going to result in a lot of mistakes. But I don't know that we're at the point where ChatGPT is like, I don't know, but I better cover my butt by making something up. You know what I'm saying?
So I've only used ChatGPT twice. Once was when I said I spent an hour using it as a therapist. And then last night, I was intrigued. I was listening to President of the United States of America, one of my favorite bands. And I pulled up ChatGPT on my iPad, and I typed in, write me a song in the style of President of the United States of America. And I didn't think it would do it. And instantaneously, it gave me all the chords, all the lyrics. That's spooky.
Yeah, but you realize that's not because it's like a super genius, like it's just better than people. It's a machine that has access to all of this data at once. Like, it can process the data faster than we can, and that is its only edge on us. Like, it doesn't have any sort of discretion or wisdom. If you had every President of the United States song in your head, all the lyrics, you knew all the chord progressions because it had been uploaded to your brain, you would be able to do the same thing.
I guess.
Like, I wouldn't necessarily call that intelligence. It's just, it has a library that it can access quicker than we can. So that's why it's able to generate something like that. It's not because, I just think there's a lot of magical thinking that goes into the whole ChatGPT language learning models thing, where we're just like, it's so much better than us. I've definitely fallen victim to that too, or like gotten my hopes up or what have you. Like, maybe we'll have like a large language learning model, congressperson or something. And now I'm looking at the situation, like, the more I learn about how it works, the less faith I have in this is going to be the thing to save humanity.
And, like, so many things are generational. As someone who, if I came in tomorrow morning and my computer was off, I wouldn't know how to get it going, having someone write a song for me in less than a second is crazy. Like, that's just
right.
Magic.
But is it creativity?
I don't know.
I don't think it is.
That's the thing, is like, so to me, it's making choices, creative choices. Like, why is it an E5 into a G5 as opposed to a C7th into an F minor? Like, they made those choices. That's what screws me up. I never knew.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, DGS 352. Coming up at 4, we have the Think Tank with Judge Frawley and Steve Butts. One of the things I pride myself on the show is how varied and textured, and you never know, you know, what we're talking about. And I love the last couple of comments on the stream. Rachel, I agree with you, but what you're describing can be done with any database system, compiling data and giving answers. AI adds another level to that, artificial thinking. And then Yurik says, cone dip blizzard, a DQ is my go-to. Same taste as a dip cone, but way less mess.
Absolutely.
That encapsulates the DGS.
Sometimes people will be like, what did you talk about on the show today? And I'm like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Everything, nothing, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question.
So true. Absolutely true. You got some?
Yeah, I've always got something.
I know you've always got something.
Let me look at my sheet here. Oh, man, this kind of made me sad. I saw this story on KMOX.com, actually, that's cheating. That moms typically feel the pressure more than dads at the holiday season. It's just kind of the way the gender roles have shaken out. So that's not a real surprise. But 83% of millennial moms are feeling overwhelmed with the expectations for, quote, holiday magic. Mm-hmm. And this makes so much sense to me. Just the world we live in now is so different than when I was growing up. When it comes to stuff like Christmas, I always had the best Christmases with my family. Like both of my grandmas would make things special. My mom would make things special. But it wasn't like picture perfect special.
I get you.
You weren't always going to be showing everyone you've ever met what your celebration looked like. And that allowed for like a lot of character and a lot of quirks and a lot of flaws, really. The way we do things now, it's like you better portray this like perfect situation or else people are going to judge you. And that makes me feel really sad for women my age who are just trying to do a good Christmas for their family and feeling like this pressure to be perfect, because that's impossible.
Yeah. I've always thought, you know, from childhood on, that the holidays carry themselves. They're yours to screw up.
Yeah,
right?
That's a good way of putting it.
I mean, you can have tragedy. We lost my brother on Christmas Eve. Trust me, not a Christmas goes by anymore. That's not a big part of it for me. And people can get in fights and XYZ. But just as long as you just kind of keep it between the rails, I think it's always magical for kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one thing. You know, Jack and Francis certainly had their flaws, and I'm kind of who I am negatively because of what I went through. But especially my dad really loved Christmas and always made it cool and special. And I always got really great gifts. And I appreciate that.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.